in the solid rock. Amen. Y'all don't sound like y'all believe that. Amen. We have a solid anchor. Some of us need bigger anchors than others. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Some of us need bigger anchors than other folks. Some of us got big stuff going on, and you need something that's going to hold down deep. So some of y'all may be okay with a little anchor. I need a big one. I need an anchor that's going to keep me when stuff starts happening. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Your anchor, the size of your anchor, is the size of your God. Your God is the size anchor that you have. How many of you ever had challenges in your life? So you have to see, our walk with Christ is a faith walk. Faith is the substance of things you hope for and the evidence of things you can't see. So sometimes you need the invisible anchor that you're hoping will keep you. You need to have faith that that anchor is going to hold. Amen? When we stop believing the anchor holds, we give up. But that's why we have to make sure that we are building ourselves on that which holds. It's troubled times, but I'm not afraid in a troubled time. I'm not afraid in a troubled time because the anchor that I have, I know, goes past the troubles that are here. I've seen troubled times before. I've seen a lot of troubled times. I've seen times more violent than these times. We see a lot of stuff happening. But I remember when I was a child growing up in East Oakland when there was drug wars in the city. And I remember when my next door neighbor would wear a disguise before he would leave his house because he was afraid of getting killed. We lived through those times. Pastor Edward, you remember? We grew up in those times. We grew up and people were scared. We grew up, people were doing drive-bys and people were doing crazy stuff just like they're doing right now. Well, we grew up through those times and we made it through those times and we went through those times. And a lot of people were afraid during those times. I remember I was in the Coliseum when a riot broke out. We're at a concert and a purity riot broke out inside the Coliseum with like 35,000 people in it. I've seen troubled times. I've been sitting places, minding my own business, and somebody walks in to rob somewhere. And a guy put a gun right here on my head. And I'm minding my own business. I don't have nothing to do with this. But the Spirit of God was there to preserve me so that no harm is done to me. I've been in automobile accidents where I see it coming and there's nothing I can do. We're in our car parked at a light, stoplight, and we see two cars have an accident in front of us. And they both ricochet off of each other, and they both come. Both cars hit our car straight on, one after the other. One hits, bounces off, the other one hits, bounces off. We got out of the car afterwards, check everybody in the car. Two cars hit us. They both hit us in the exact same spot. They both hit the exact same spot on our car, and the only thing they hit, two cars. The only thing they hit was our license plate. Two cars. We're sitting still. Two cars have an accident. They bump off of each other. They both cars are messed up, smoking. They both hit us. And my wife and my kids were in the car at the time. Both of them hit us. But they hit the same spot. And the Spirit of God says, when you are where I call you to be, My hedge of protection will always be around you. Those are anchors. Those are anchors set down so that you know in times of trouble that 1,000 can fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. It's the word of God coming alive. It's the word of God playing itself out when we have put our trust in the anchor who is Jesus Christ. When we put our trust in the anchor, God. And that when we put that trust in him, that we have trusted in him so that we're not afraid of what tomorrow holds. Because the just are going to live by their faith. Unseen, invisible before me, but I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lead not to my own understanding, in every way acknowledging him so that he can lead and direct my paths. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that today's word you will minister to us. Give us wisdom, understanding, enlighten us. May the eyes of our understanding be lightened, flooded with light. I thank you for the faith and for the love of the people in this room. And I pray like Paul prayed, that the eyes of our understanding, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let our eyes be open. Lord, give us wisdom to move with your spirit. Move with what you say. Move with what you command us. And we thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of your spirit coming forth right now. We thank you that as we receive your manifestation, we will be bold to speak and testify of the goodness of the Lord. And we thank you right now for your word prospering in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I am ready for the word. Tell your other neighbor, say, I mean what I said. Ephesians chapter 1, the book of Ephesians chapter 1. So we've been talking about wisdom, right? We've been talking about wisdom for a long time, and we're going to keep on talking about wisdom. And there's two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom of God and the wisdom of humanity. There's the wisdom of that comes from the soulish realm, the mind, mental wisdom, being streetwise, being understanding things that go on in the world. There's that kind of wisdom, and then there's the wisdom that comes from God that is first peaceable. In other words, the wisdom of God first brings peace to an environment. Then it starts to operate and bring forth the kingdom. So we understand that when we talk about wisdom, we're talking first about the one thing, the peace of God. What does God desire that will bring his peace into a circumstance? And so when I was sharing with you just a few minutes ago about some things that I've experienced, one of the things that's happened every single time is that when God shows up, there's a peace of God that comes. So we're about to have an accident that we see forming in front of us. We don't have any power to change what's going on, but the peace of God comes on you. So that in the moment, while I have no, quote, power, I'm totally powerful. Because I have a peace of God. And so I don't have any, quote, physical power to change it, but there's a power already made available to me that is like a force field around me. Because the word says, thou, O God, are a shield about me. He's a shield around me. And so things can happen in my environment. Things may even happen to this physical body, but nothing happens to me. You understand what I'm saying? Things can happen around me. Things can happen to this body, but things don't happen to me because I'm not this. Why? Because there's a wisdom that is not natural. It's not based on five senses. It's not based on what you see, feel, hear, taste, or touch, smell. It's not based on those things. It's based on a spiritual empowerment of God. His spirit coming into my spirit, the real me on the inside. So the real person on the inside of me is not this. Because if it was this, then when my body is laid to rest, when I pass away, why is it still here, but I'm gone? Amen? So we all know that. We already know that it's not this, that's who you are. Because otherwise, whoever dies. Death is not just the stopping of the blood pumping. Death is the absence of the spirit. And when someone passes away, and unfortunately, when we have the situation, we have to go to the casket and look inside, what is the one thing we always seek? That's not them. That's not mama. That's not this person. That's not that person. Something's missing. What's missing is the spirit. The spirit that gave life is what's missing. So the first point of understanding in wisdom is that wisdom is based on a spiritual truth, not just natural truth. And the ultimate wisdom is to know what you are. To understand that you are a spirit and not a flesh and blood body. To know that you are spiritual first, natural second. First point of wisdom. So to understand that means that I'm then not defined by my circumstances, by my environment, or by my situation. None of those things define me. I'm not defined by where I came from. I'm not defined by what I do for a living. I'm not defined by my circumstances. I'm not defined by any of those things. I'm defined by what God says about me and what God has really created me to be. And so when we're going to look at this passage here, we want to think about this because Paul, talking to the Ephesians church, we're going to begin at verse 15, he's trying to help them with something. He's trying to help them with something we started talking about last week. We talked about these three P's, the three questions. Question of purpose. Y'all gonna help me? Thank you. The question of potential and the question of power. The question of purpose, potential, and power. Those are the three questions that Paul brings up to the Ephesians church. He begins with saying, number one, verse 15, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. In other words, I begin with, I already know you're Christians. I already know you got faith. I already know you love people. Praise the Lord. I'm not complaining about that. I'm excited about that. Next verse, verse 15. I do not cease to give thanks for you and make mention of you in my prayers. In other words, I already heard about your faith. I already heard about your love. I'm thanking God for that. I'm excited about that for your life, but there's some things you don't know. So I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And I'll pray a couple of things for you. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, I want you to have a spirit of wisdom when it comes to your knowledge of Christ. That you need a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of understanding. I want you to have wisdom and I want you to have revelation. I want things to be revealed to you, things that you don't know, things that you don't understand. I'm praying that God would give you spirit of wisdom and revelation, that God would reveal things to you. I know you're saved already. I know you love. I know those things are true about you. I know you have faith, but I want God to show you more. I want God to take you deeper. I want God to expose you and give you revelation to more than what you currently know. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glories of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, where? In heavenly places. In other words, there is a heavenly place, a dimension that you don't understand and you can't see with your eyes. That you can't smell it. You can't hear it. You can't discern it in a natural sense. That you have more about the world than you're currently exposed to. And your faith, your, again, what is faith? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the unseen. I know you have faith. I know you're believing for the unseen already. I know you have love, because your love is what motivates or empowers your faith to move, because faith works by love. I know those things about you, but I'm also praying that this eyes of your understanding get flooded with light so that you can see the unseen things that are in heavenly places. Now, go to further in chapter, earlier in chapter 1, go to verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing," where? "In heavenly places in Christ." In other words, God has blessed you with everything you need. God our Father has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He's already given you. We're giving thanks to God for the spiritual blessing He's already put on our lives. He's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. They're in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. God has, I'm giving thanks to God. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing He's already given to you. Already. It's already yours. It's in the heavenly places. That's why Paul, later on, when we're reading verse 20 back there, he says, God's already worked in His mighty power according to Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him, Christ, at His right hand. Where? In the heavenly places, where all of your spiritual blessings are. Christ is already seated at the right hand of God, already there with all of your spiritual blessings, and He says that you're in Him. I'm praying that your eyes of your understanding will be flooded with light. What we're talking about here is we're talking about the fact that God has ordained that your blessing is predicated on your connection. It's not predicated on your steps. It's predicated on your connection, on how you're connected to Him, on how you are walking in Him. When you're in Christ, provision is made. When you're in Him, the hedge of protection is there. When you're in Him, God has caused every good and perfect gift to be your possession when you're in Him. The problem is that the enemy's trick is to get you not to be in Him. The trick of the enemy is to try to get you to become as religious as possible without being in Christ. The enemy's trick is to get you to be as religious as possible without actually having the Word of God planted in your heart, so that you are moving not by what you see, but by what you understand spiritually, that you move by revelation. The enemy's trying to get you to move based on how it feels, how it looks, how it smells, how it tastes. He's trying to get you to be moved by your senses. He's trying to get you to be driven by your senses. He's trying to get you to move solely and specifically by how you feel. And if He can get you to live in that realm, then what He's got you out of is the place where you have every spiritual blessing. Nothing exists in this world until it exists spiritually first. Because God is a spirit. John chapter 4, when He's explaining to the woman at the well, He said, God is a spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, earlier, me and King were talking about fish and water. Okay, so King deals with fish all the time. I deal with water all the time. So we're talking about fish and water. So here's the interesting thing about fish. I have never, ever met one person who caught a fish standing on a mountain where they can't reach the water. You're up here, beautiful scenery. It's a beautiful place. I'm standing on top of a mountain. It's beautiful. I see the clouds and I see the blue sky, and it's a wonderful place to be. But if I expect to get fish, I need to be near the water, preferably in the water, because there's more fish further out in the water than there are fish on the edge of the water. Would you guys agree with that? So how can I catch every spiritual blessing that God has for my life standing in my natural environment? How am I going to get access to every spiritual blessing that's in Christ when I'm not in Christ, I'm in something else? I'm in my own head, or I'm in my own emotions, or I'm in my own feelings, but I'm not in him. How are you going to get the spiritual blessing that's in him when you ain't in him? How are you going to get the access to the things that are in the heavens when I'm locked and bound by things in the earth? And the things that come to the earth to get you are the things that are sense-based. Things that can drive your feelings. Things that can drive you to make decisions not based on what God says, but how you feel. Because those are things that keep you out of the water. It keeps you out of the water. So when Paul is praying, he's telling them, number one, God has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You've been made complete in Christ. In Christ, you have everything you need. Now, I'm praying that your eyes be open, because God's provided it. Now I'm praying that your eyes get open. I know you have faith. I know you're walking the love walk. I know you're doing the right things. I know you're walking with God. I know that about you. As a matter of fact, I'm giving God thanks for that about you. But I want you also to understand there is more available to you than what you grasped. I want you to know that there's more available than what you have so far grabbed a hold of. And I want you to know that it is already set aside in the heavenly places. And now as I'm praying for you, look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. First thing to get access to the spiritual blessing that God has for our life is first that you understand your purpose. You understand your purpose. The question of purpose. What is the hope of God's calling? In other words, God has already called you. God already has a calling on your life. We have over-spiritualized and made calling so religious that we believe that calling is what happens to a guy who's called to be a pastor. He got a calling. And there's a whole people who, quote, got a calling and tried to be pastors, but they weren't called to be pastors. They were just called. They're called indeed, but maybe not to be a pastor. I know a man who's a wonderful man. I love this man. He's so, every time I get around, I can't help but smile. Every time I'm around him. But he's a pastor and he ain't got no business being a pastor. He ain't got no business. He's got no business. He's gifted. He's a man of God. But being a pastor is not the only way to be a man of God. And so he gets in the pulpit and his gift starts to operate, but it has nothing to do with pastoring. You understand what I'm saying? We have been led to believe that calling is a natural thing that happens to put us in an office. But I never got a calling to be a pastor. I got a calling to do certain things. Those things have resulted in me becoming a pastor. But I'm not, quote, a pastor because I believe I'm, quote, gifted to be a pastor. I'm obeying God along the way, and God is revealing purpose after purpose after purpose after purpose, because you don't have one purpose for your life. You have multitude of purposes for your life. But what God does is God reveals purpose not through what you have. He reveals purpose by where he puts you. You understand what I'm saying? We sometimes believe purpose is defined by what we have. But what we have are only tools to get things done. In other words, the gifts in your life, the gift that God puts in your life is a tool for you to get something accomplished. But God's purpose on you is not the tool. That God's purpose is the thing that he's trying to get done. He has an eternal purpose in which he has purposed, but that purpose is manifested in day-by-day obedience to God, not in seeing a whole picture and knowing, oh my God, God called me to open a church. That's not what God called you to do. God called you to do something for him, and opening a church may be part of that, but that is not the call. You understand? That's not the call. The calling isn't what you do. The call is what God's expected end is. So everybody is born into life with a calling on their life. You have a calling. There's something you are called to accomplish in the world. And God empowers you with gifts along the road to get done what he's called you to get done. The gifts don't define you. Your gifts don't define you. Your gifts are tools. Tools put in your hands to allow you to be able to do what you need to do when you need to do it. I wish I had a little, like one of those Swiss Army knives in my hand. So this little Swiss Army knife, you guys know the little knife that's got all the little things come out, right? And it's like, oh my God, I can do this, I can do that. I got all these things in here, okay? It's got all those capacities, but it's not a screwdriver. It has a screwdriver, but it's not a screwdriver. It has a knife, but it's not a knife. It has a fork, but it ain't a fork. It's got some scissors on it, but it's not scissors. It's got all this stuff put together to make something to get things done with. But you can't call it one of those things. So sometimes we want somebody to put a label on us in order to call us something, in order to get things done. But only thing a label does is tell you how much it costs. A label don't tell you what it can do. A label just put a price tag on what a recommended value on something is. You have a price tag. Listen, you put a price. There's a price tag. You go to Safeway today. There's a price tag on a box of crackers. You look at the box of crackers. It has a price tag on it, $2.99. I haven't bought crackers, so I don't know how much crackers cost. But I'm pulling that one out of the sky. $2.99 for a box of crackers. Somebody said, you ain't been to the store in a while, right? Box of crackers. I buy this box of crackers. It has a label on it that says the suggested retail value. $2.99. Vallejo, California, I buy a box of crackers. I take that same box of crackers. A few years ago, you remember, there was an earthquake when these miners in Venezuela were underground. Okay, they underground, they got no food, they got money in their pockets, they got no food. They can't buy anything because there ain't no store. So guess what? If they lowered that same little $2.99 box of crackers down the little hole down the shaft down there when you haven't ate in like 18 days, guess how much that box of crackers is worth now? It ain't worth $2.99 no more, right? Why? Because value is not created by a label. I can't put a label on you and say, you're this, and now you have value. No, your value is going to be manifested by the environment that you get put in. So a person with a prophetic gift can be somewhere where there's a whole bunch of other prophets, and I don't need a word from you. Everybody got a word. A group of prophets get together, everybody prophesying each other. We all got a word, man. Come on. You take that same word and you put it where people have not heard the voice of God, and the prophetic word becomes valuable. but it's a tool to get something done. Purpose is not the result of identifying your gifts. Identification of your gifts only tells you what you have. It does not tell you what you are. So the first question Paul asked to the Ephesian church, he said, I'm praying for you that God would answer this question, that you might know the hope of God's calling. That you might understand what is God's intent. What was God's intent when he made you? What was God's intent when he put you in this earth? What was God's intent when he loosed you into the family that he put you in? What was God's intent when he put you there? Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. This is a very familiar passage. Most people have heard this quoted or misquoted or spoken or something. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 5 through 13. 5 through 13. Jeremiah is after what? After Isaiah, right? Did that help everybody? Jeremiah chapter 1. We have it up on the screen if you don't have it yet. Here we go. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read verse 4 as well. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is Jeremiah talking, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. The word sanctified is not a religion. You understand? Sanctified, sometimes sanctified has been made to be a religion. It's not, sanctified is not a religion. Okay? It's not enough. You can't be the sanctified, Sanctified means to be set apart. In other words, he's saying, before I formed you in the womb, I already knew you. In other words, God said, I already in my mind had an intent for you before I actually made you. In other words, I had a blueprint in my head about what I was making, and then I made it. Where did I make it? I made it in your mother's womb. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I already knew you. I already knew you. God said, I already knew you. Say, God already knew me. Before you were born. In other words, I formed you, and then before you got out of the forming tank, before I let you out of the tank, I set you apart. See, sometimes we live through life and we think we don't have a purpose, or we think we're not valuable. We think we don't have things. We think we're not special. We think all the different things about us. But God said, no. Before you were even formed, I already knew what I was making. Before I even allowed you to enter the world, I had already set you apart. Tell your neighbor, say, I think you're different. Now tell that neighbor that told you, said, that's because I'm set apart. Yeah, you are different, that's for sure. But you're different because you've been set apart. You're unique. There's only one of you. You've been set apart. You're different than everybody else for a purpose, for a reason. The problem is, you can't get it revealed by anybody except the one who hid it. There's only one person who can reveal it, and that's the one who did it. God's the only one who can actually reveal why you are the way you are. Now, sometimes when I say, I'm just the way I am, that means something negative, right? In other words, I'm conceding something wrong with me. I'm just the way I am. We say that to say, but you know what? It should be a positive. I just am the way I am. Praise the Lord for what God has made me to be. Now I just need to how to live it, set apart, sanctified for the Lord's purpose. So God tells Jeremiah that he knows him, that he's already sanctified him, and then what else? And I ordained you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think pastor can't ordain you. God said, I ordained you a prophet. Not to become a prophet. I ordained you a prophet. I ordained you a prophet. I made you a prophet. I made you to be something. But to be something is nothing without the purpose. So he says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, I can't speak, for I'm a youth. Wait a minute. Shouldn't a prophet have good skills as a speaker? Shouldn't a prophet, somebody who's called to speak for God, shouldn't they be articulate? Shouldn't they be someone who actually can speak, since they're supposed to speak for God? No, those are gifts. Gift is not calling. He said, I can't speak. How am I going to be the prophet to the nations and I don't even know how to talk? You don't need to talk. I didn't tell you I called you to talk. I told you I called you to be a prophet to nations. That's what I called you to be. In other words, I have a calling in your life and your gifts have nothing to do with your calling. Is what did God make you to be? When God formed you in your mother's womb, what was he making? Because he already knows. Because he said, before you were formed, I already knew you. And before I let you free, before I set you loose on the world, I had already set you apart. And I've already ordained you. I've already ordained you. The response of Jeremiah is the same kind of response every person gives God when God shows you a glimpse of who you are. And that is an excuse. I've called you to be this. Oh, well, that's cool, but I don't know how to talk. I'm not good at math. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. I would do that, but I have to do this. I would, all the reasons we give God. But God isn't, how many know God doesn't accept excuses? Verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth. That's why I say to y'all, do not say certain things. Because if God called you, then there ain't no saying. No read for excuses. If God told you something, then we need to move with what God said, not come up with excuses. There's always an excuse. There's always a reason why not to do something. Because there is an enemy who always feeds you excuses and reasons why you shouldn't do certain things. Amen? Do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all who I send you. And whatever I command you, you will speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set this day you over the nations, over the kingdoms,
to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Well, wait a minute, I thought I was a prophet. That's a label. I just told you what the label is, but now here's what I'm telling you to do. Prophet is the label so you understand what I'm telling you, but that's not the purpose. I'm going to tell you the purpose later. What's the purpose? I'm going to put my words in your mouth, and with my words, you're going to pull down, you're going to throw down, you're going to build. You're going to have a purpose, a reason for doing. A reason for doing things. See, I have set this day, I have set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. This is some kid God calls and says, I'm going to do this. Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said. Y'all ain't are you listening to me? He didn't say that's what I'm going to make you do later on. He said, see this day. This day, when you're a kid and you can't talk and you're nobody, this day, today is the day I'm setting you over nations. Today. Not potential is not what you're going to do tomorrow. It's what you have not done today. Do you understand that what I'm telling you? Do y'all understand what I'm saying to you? Potential is not what you're going to do tomorrow. It's just what you haven't done yet. See, when you think of potential is what you're going to do tomorrow, you think you're going to do it tomorrow because something's going to get added to you and you have more ability tomorrow than you have today. No, potential is what you have today right now that has not yet been revealed that you're going to be able to do, not later, but you can do it right now if you have the revelation. What's under there? Got some answers? What's under there? Assumption? Something. Yeah, something is under there. Something's under there, right? Do you know what's under there? Not till it's revealed. You don't know what's under there until it gets revealed because something's covered it over, right? Something's over it right now. Now, is it going to become more of what it is when I reveal it to you? Whatever it is right now, unrevealed, under there. It's not going to be any more once it's revealed. It's going to be what it is. We're just going to know what it is. It's going to be it's not going to be anymore. Whatever it is what it's going to be. Now, I want you to believe, I want you to recognize under here is your purpose. Underneath that, everybody in the room, what's under there is your purpose. It's under there. The only way y'all gonna get to know what's under there is when I lift this cloth, right? Whatever it is what it is. Now, if it's your purpose, what you are most likely gonna expect to see, that if it's gonna be revealed, that as it's revealed, when you see it, you'll know exactly what to do, right? So what are you expecting when I lift this? What are you expecting to see? Whatever it is, right? It is what it is. It's going to be whatever it's going to be, right? So, your purpose, that's your purpose, right? It's a nice purpose. So what are we going to do with this purpose now that this purpose has been revealed? Fulfill it.
Okay. All right. So inside the purpose here is some stuff. Some stuff inside the purpose. And then there's a seed. There's a seed inside the purpose. So God's purpose for Jeremiah, let's align this. Jeremiah said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, what? I knew you. Okay? Before you left the womb, I sanctified you, set you apart, and I ordained you. And his response was, I don't know how to speak. God's response was, don't say I'm a youth. What did he say? He said, would you put these concepts together? Jeremiah says, I don't know how to speak. God's answer was to him, wasn't don't say you can't speak. Don't say I'm a youth. See, what he was telling him is was not you don't have abilities. God is saying, I'm not worried about your abilities. But I will tell you, don't say that you don't have the experience required to do what I'm telling you to do. Because experience is not what you need. And so what God says then is, he says, I'm going to put my hand on your mouth. And I'm going to give you my words. And you will speak what I say. So what God did was, God said, your purpose is to be a seed. We said last week, this is an avocado seed, right? An avocado seed. How many ever seen an avocado tree? Some of you have. It doesn't look like this. This looks nothing like an avocado tree. It doesn't look like an avocado tree. But this is an avocado tree. This is an avocado tree. Nothing else has to be added to this. It needs to just be put into the right place, and it will grow and be what it already is, even though it doesn't look like this. What it is looks like right now is not what it's going to look like, but it's never going to be anything other than what it is right now. Your purpose cannot be revealed to you in one moment. Sometimes we want God to show us a purpose, a finished product, and you can't see the finished product. You can only see that you are a seed for something God is doing. You are a seed for what God is doing, and what you look like right now is not what you're going to look like later on. What you look like right now is not going to determine what you're going to become. And only thing that matters is when God was forming you in your mother's womb, what did he make you to be? Because if you use and you allow him to bring forth what he has purposed for you, you will look like you've been designed to look. You will look like what you've been designed to look like. So I always tell people, stop looking for your gifts. Don't waste your time looking for your gifts, because you have so many gifts, you can't number them. You have more gifts than you can imagine. You can do anything you need to do. I wanted to be an architect, right? So I grew up, I'm great at math, I'm great at science, I love buildings. No brainer, be an architect. I was a kid, I had the only two magazines. You know, you had to, back in the day, we used to have to buy magazines for the school fundraiser. So I would always get the same two magazines, Sports Illustrated and Architectural Digest. So that's the two. I know it's weird, but that's okay. That's what I was me. I'm set apart. Anyway, there's only two things I was interested in. But that's not what I was. It's what my gifts said I should be able to do. My gifts said I should be able to do. I took a drafting class. I was so excellent. Man, doing great in math, great in physics. No brainer. No brainer. no human brainer. But we're not talking about human. We're talking about spirit. We're talking about spirit. We're talking about letting God reveal what he's made. What did he put in the seed? So I've had probably, probably seven careers. And each one has been like me trying to do something and it didn't work. And when I say don't work, it means I do it and it's not, something's not right about it. Not that I couldn't, wasn't successful at it, because I've been able to, for whatever reason, do things successfully. But it wasn't right. It wasn't it. It wasn't the thing. It wasn't purpose. And so I keep missing. In the meantime, God is saying, yeah, keep on. Because I'm going to reveal what you are. And so the thread between all those things is God revealing all along the road what I am. Because what you are is what you always do. It's what you always do. Because why? It has nothing to do with your gifts. It has to do with what you do. The things we apply it to are different than what we do. So God calls Jeremiah. I'm going to go back to Ephesians really quickly here. God calls Jeremiah and tells Jeremiah, I have ordained you as a prophet to the nations. You are right now a prophet to the nations. God's purpose is revealed. I want your eyes to be open, your understanding to be open to what God is doing in our lives. So I'm going to close with this. When God reveals, or how God reveals, say it that way, how God reveals who you are is only revealed directly from him. It's revealed in conversation with God. Miles Monroe said it this way. He said, there's different laws of purpose. He had seven laws of purpose that he talked about. And one of the laws was, if you want to know the purpose of a thing, never ask the thing. You can't answer the question of what you are. And this is the reason why, because he said purpose is found in the mind of the Creator. You can't find your purpose without connection to God. You can't identify your reason for being without a quality relationship with God in which you have made him the source of your worship and you have made him the very thoughts that you have. When you allow God to so be part of who you are through your going to the Word and studying to show yourself approved and allowing God's Word to speak to you and taking whatever's in front of you and doing it as unto the Lord, when you take whatever's in front of you and do it as unto the Lord, God reveals who you are. Because while I'm trying different things, the one thing that's the truth is that whatever I did, I tried to do it as unto the Lord. And because I did, God revealed who I was. And that's the difference there. You can't identify where you're going by finding your gifts. You can only identify through worship, through prayer, and through action. To act on what's in front of you. Every great person in the Bible shares one thing. The way they found out their purpose was through whatever was in front of them, they gave it to God. The difference between the great kings and the bad kings in the Bible is that the great kings ran into problems and they prayed before the Lord and they sought the Lord. They inquired of the Lord. And when the Lord showed up, that's what God moved and revealed who they were. When Joseph is thrown into prison, God sends him a dream to start telling him, but the dream is unclear. The dream is a seed. The dream doesn't look like anything that God actually made of his life. He never saw wheat bowing down to him, never saw the sun and the moon bowing down to him. It was God's vision that was kind of move him from seed to fullness. So what did he have to do? We find out that when he gets attacked in prison, or it's not in prison, when he attacked by Potiphar's wife, that he calls on the Lord. How can I do this before God? He kept God at the center. And so God, even through the prison experience and everything else that happens to him, God reveals who he is. Not by gift, but by God putting the seed where it's supposed to be. And in due time, it blooms. If you want to know who you are, if you want to know where God's taking your life, allow God to plant you. Stay in worship before God, and whatever's before you, conquer that thing. And every time you overcome, God will reveal more of who you are. Every time you overcome, God will show you more of who you are, and your purpose will become manifest. A tree never has to try to become a tree. It just has to grow. It just has to grow. If it grows, it will become what it's supposed to be. If it fights with the dirt, it's not going to become anything. If it fights with the air, it's not going to become anything. Its only job is to grow. And that's our only job, is to grow. Allow God to fill us. Allow God to move in us and grow. And as we grow, God's manifestation is going to happen. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God.